We're going to be 2 Kings chapter 2. Glad to see all these smiling faces here this morning. Amen. We had a great crowd at the first service. I think people like 8:30 service. Amen. We just got to keep the reins on them. Don't come at 8:30 and don't come back at 5. Amen. Don't forget about 6. Don't forget about prayer meeting just for the early service. Ain't time to go fishing. Amen. We got to keep pressing. Praise God. I'm going to share some testimonies this evening about some of the things that God has done, and just thankful for the things, being able to travel and preach, but there's no place like home, amen, just no place like it. Friday night, Brother Rafe, we had our men's meeting, and it was awesome. I thought Rafe did a great job, and it was just a great time of fellowship, amen. It was really good, and I just want to say thanks to everybody that covered for us while we were out, that ministered, that prayed, that preached, that played, that worshiped, everything that everyone done. I just say thank you from the bottom of our heart. It's such a blessing to know that you can travel, you can go, and you can minister and preach through open doors and still be able to just know that things here is taken care of. Amen. And so I believe, Brother Trevor, you're going to be preaching this Wednesday night. Amen. Brother Trevor will be ministering this Wednesday, so it's always good when he preaches. And so y'all be praying for him. And y'all prepare your hearts and your families and everybody, and y'all come be with us Wednesday too. Amen. So we look forward to that. I know that God's going to use Brother Trevor here Wednesday. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm not a very good preacher when it comes to preaching my notes, but I believe God gave me a lot of things in my notes that I need to just say, so it's probably going to be a little bit different. Amen. So I'm not a good preacher of my notes. I like to just say something and then just preach in the flow of the Holy Ghost. But sometimes, and I believe this morning, that I have to stay in line with my notes because there's some specific things that God has given me, and I wrote these things down, and so I just know that it's utmost important. I titled this message this morning, Are We the Cure or the Curse? Are we the cure or are we the curse? Because the purpose of this church and the purpose of the church is to bring healing to a barren land. It's to bring healing to a barren land. But if I'm not part of the cure, then I'm part of the curse, and I can't bring healing to a barren land. Amen? And so we have to ask ourselves what we're going to be. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 says, And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters, and he cast the salt in there. And he said, Thus said the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Let's pray again. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to read and to preach your word. God, I ask for supernatural anointing. God, that you would help me today. Ask, Lord, that you would minister to every heart, to every life today, God. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would meet with us in the time of the altars and that your anointing, Lord, would break every yoke today in this house. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to drink a swallow of this good water before we talk about bad water. Hallelujah. So the Bible speaks of a prophet, Elisha, and other than parting the waters with a mantle, this is his second miracle. Elisha has been brought into the city of Jericho, and there's something that we need to know about the city of Jericho. The Bible says in the book of Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And so what do we know about the land of Jericho? Is it part of the cure, or is it part, or is it cursed? We just read in Joshua chapter 6 that Jericho was cursed. This is the city that he is talking about. But at the same time that this city has a curse in it, it also has an appearance that everything is pleasant and looks right. And I thought about our lives, and I thought about our church, and I thought about Grace Fellowship, and I thought about so many people from the outside. I mean, globally, people look to this church every month for wisdom and direction and provision financially and spiritually. We're getting phone calls and messages all the time from people in Africa and in Colombia and in Israel. People look to this church globally, and not only globally, but in the United States of America, people look to us. But can we be somewhat like Jericho, to have an appearance of looking pleasant, but there being a curse on the inside of the church? Is that not possible? It is very possible. Because the water source is the source of life. And everything that came to the source of to drink water, can I tell you, it became barren. Can I tell you that a lot of places that you go, very few places are like America, where every home has their own well in the backyard. Can I tell you, we're blessed by God. Amen. A lot of villages that you go to, we were able to put water source in a village in Colombia, at a village called Olaya, where we ended up building a church there. But we ran water from the city. We didn't dig a well. We just ran water from the city. And there's about 5 spigots in this little village. And if you're going to get water, then you have to go to one of those spigots, because that's where the source of water is. And so every home that are made out of pallets, dirt floors, none of those homes have a source of water on the inside of that house. And so if they're going to go get water to drink, to take a shower, to cook with, they have to go to this one place. And it is the same way in ancient Israel. There was one source of water. And so in Jericho, there was one well there. And so whenever they would come to get water at the well of Jericho, there was an issue there. The water was bad, the Bible says. It said that the water was bad, and it said that the ground or the land was barren. So that tells me that everything that partook of that water, everything was barren that drank of that water. Can I tell you? But it had an outward appearance that everything was pleasant and it looked good. Can I tell you that we can do the same thing? I can put on this suit and tie. I can put on all of this, and I can make me have an appearance that seems pleasant. But can I tell you, I could have bad water on the inside of me. Amen. I'm facing things right now on a personal level, and as a pastor, that maybe I don't know if I felt this kind of pain in some time. Amen. Things my family's walking through, children you see facing battles, and things as a pastor, I tell you, sometimes it's unbearable. Amen. You want to just throw in the towel. You would love to walk away. You would love to, but that's not an option. Amen. It's not an option for us to be able to stop. But let me tell you something. Don't let all this fool you a lot of days. Amen. But that's what we've become good at in America. We're good at dressing up. We're looking at playing the part, looking the part, doing the part. But on the inside of us, we can be full of bad water. Full of bad water. And so here's what the Bible says. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren. So let me tell you, there was an issue, because the water was naught. The first thing that I want to talk to you about is bad water. Now, I'm not making things up. If you look up what the word naught means in the Hebrew, it actually means bad. So I want to talk to you about bad water just a minute. Amen. What are types of bad water? Well, I can tell you the first that comes to my mind is bitter water. Amen. Bitter waters. Can I tell you there's a lot of bitter people in the church? I mean, a lot of bitter people. I want to talk to you about this bad water for just a minute. I looked up what this word means in the Hebrew. I just love digging deeper and finding out what something really means. Amen. And we're going to relay this to our life. The word naught in the Hebrew, the first word that it means is evil. Can I ask you and oppose a question? That if people from all around, it's not the church a source of life for the world right now? I mean a dark world. And so just think about this. I want to put this. This is the well of Jericho. Amen. And so people come into our church. They've heard about our church. They heard the way that God is moving. They've heard about all these things, all these ministries. But they come to get a drink of water, but the water is bad. The first thing that this word means in the Hebrew is bad water means evil. Listen to this. Evil in thoughts, in deeds, and in actions. Wouldn't it be a shame for people to come to the house of God to get something from God, but everybody they run into has got bad water in it, and it's not just bad, but it's evil water. It's evil in your deeds, in your thoughts, and even in your actions. Can I tell you what this word naught means? It means good for nothing. Can I tell you, there's a lot of church buildings that are good for nothing. They're good for nothing. We just got these big, pretty buildings, but whenever you come inside to try to drink of the water, number one, it's evil. It's good for nothing. Amen. It's naught. There's no life there. But people are running to try to get the source of life. Amen. But bad water is not good. It means unpleasant. It means miserable. It means displeasing. And it means unhappy. I wonder if that's how some of us are living our life right now. You ever been around somebody that claims to be a Christian, but they're the most miserable person you've ever been with? They're the most unhappy individual that you've ever seen. I love this one. Check this out. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. Look it up for yourself. This word in the Hebrew can mean vicious indisposition. Come on, somebody. Vicious indisposition. I'm gonna go to church, but here's how I'm gonna stand. By God, I dare anybody to come around me. But we claim to be Christians, but yet my face and the appearance of my life, I dare you to sit next to me and lift up your hands. I'm going to yank them down. I'm vicious in my disposition, but yet water is the source of life. And if I don't have water, then I'm going to die. And people are out there in that world are lost and on their way to hell. And they're coming to the well of Jericho so that they don't die. But when they get there, the water is bad. We run into church looking for hope. Everybody's so sour, so bitter, and full of bad water. They're evil. We claim to be saved. Bad water, the source of life. Vicious indisposition. We intentionally keep people away, and then we'll blame them for not coming to me. Come on, somebody. You know, a lot of times we cause people to treat us the very way we don't want to be treated. Don't we? I said, many times we make somebody treat me the very way. Did y'all hear me? We know that. We know what we do, and we're intentional about it. We make people treat me the very way I don't want to be treated, but we do it. The church has become full of bad water. We've become evil. We've become good for nothing. We've become unpleasant. We've become miserable. We've become displeasing and unhappy and even evil at times in our thoughts and our deeds. Throwing little divisive things, talking about somebody behind their back. Seven things God hates. Sowing seeds of division. Lying. Can I tell you that power of life and death is in the tongue? Amen. How about this? The word can also mean disagreeable. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the way pastor does that. Well, I don't agree with the way they do that. Can I tell you, the water source was disagreeable with their bellies. So many people's in church and they're disagreeable about everything that goes on from the head down. But yet we act like we love God and all we do is sow discord because we're disagreeable about everything. The root word to naught means injurious, to cause injury, or to hurt. Some people will intentionally hurt you. You know that? Everything they do and say, it don't matter what happens. When you know when they're around, they're just going to say things that just cut you to the core. Is that not right? They know what they're doing. I mean, they come loaded. Because I'm disagreeable. But yet I call myself saved. I call myself in leadership. But I know that I'm hurting people left and right. And the intent of my heart is dirty, and it is to bring injury to somebody else. And if we don't wake up and realize this, then there'll be no new growth in the church. There'll be no new life in the church. Now stay with me just a minute. Water is the source of life. Our bodies are about 60 to 80% water. The effects of no water or not enough water, the first thing, now this is scientific, not spiritual, but I just took what scientists say and made it spiritual. Amen. I made it my material to preach. When you preach it, you can say what you want to say. Amen. But the first thing that scientists say, that if you don't have enough water or you don't drink water, the first effects of that is a dry mouth. Anybody ever had cotton mouth? Amen. Amen. We've had cotton mouth a lot of times, haven't we? Amen. Our mouth gets dry because I don't have enough water. Can I tell you, there's a lot of dry mouth Christians right now. When's the last time you spoke for God? When's the last time you ministered for God? When's the last time you fully worshiped God? Well, you can't say anything because everything that you said has been bad. And so now your mouth is dry. You can't say nothing good about nobody. And so now your mouth's dry. You try to say something, you can't say a thing, can you? Your mouth is dry. Can I tell you, there's a lot of dry mouth Christians because the water source is bad. And you're not partaking of the living water. Amen. A lot of dry mouth Christians. The second thing that happens is weight gain takes place. Can I tell you, I heard God say to me that there's a lot of Christians toting a lot of baggage that isn't theirs to carry. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Y'all aren't helping me this morning much. Amen. But we carry on. I'm telling you, whenever you don't drink enough water, then you begin to store water. You begin to store fat. You begin to put on weight. Amen. But when you begin to drink water, you'll begin to push those things out of your life. And I heard God say to me today, whenever we don't have a church and whenever we don't let the river flow in our lives, then you are going to take on weight that you're not meant to carry. You're going to just start taking baggage after baggage after baggage, and you're going to see that person, and you're going to say, they should be flowing in the Holy Ghost, but instead they got a lot of pressure, they got a lot of baggage, they got a lot of weight on them that they shouldn't be carrying in the beginning. No way, amen. And so we just start loading things up on our life. But can I tell you that whenever you don't drink enough water, then you are going to put weight on. You take on things that you should not. The third thing that happens is you become dehydrated, your skin becomes dry, and I'm just telling you what scientists said. When you get dehydrated, your skin gets dry, and your face becomes less radiant. My God. Wow. I'm just telling you what scientists said. But I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost sent me to say. A lot of us are dehydrated. We haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost in forever. We haven't prayed in tongues in forever. We haven't immersed ourselves in the water in forever. Not only am I dehydrated, but now my skin's dry. You ever seen some flaky Christians? Huh? I'm talking about being flaky. I'm talking about you just see old stale crust all over their life because you know they hadn't been partaking of the living water. You get around them and all they can talk about is the old things. All they can talk about is that old life. All they can talk about is what you did way back then. That's all they can talk about. Amen. That's all some people can talk about. Yesterday, somebody held something over my head from 2014. Said, I just can't be around you right now from something from 2014. They couldn't get over something that happened then. Then I said, well, what about, tell me, within a year. They couldn't. Then they're going to go to 2015. Can I tell you, that's what some people do. You know why? They ain't drank of the water, brother. We just want to hold on. We just become dry. We become stale. We become flaky Christians. But let me tell you, that's the lack of having the right water source. Amen? If we have the right water source, then guess what? We won't be dry and we won't be flaky. The scientist said that when you don't have enough water, that your face becomes dull and less radiant. Can I tell you, I know some Christians that are like that. Amen. I can tell you, you see them from a distance, you don't see Jesus. Their face isn't shining for Jesus. Let me ask you, how's your face look today? What'd you see when you looked in the mirror? Amen. Maybe some of us need to get the right kind of water in our life. Amen. I like this. How many of you have been fatigued before? Can I tell you, when you don't have enough water in your life, can I tell you, you're going to tire out easy. Can I tell you, I see a lot of Christians that are fatigued. Amen. A lot of Christians are fatigued. Can I tell you, it's a water problem. It's a water problem. Because here's what I've come to find out. Amen. I love the Holy Ghost. How many else in here love the Holy Ghost? I love being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I love whenever I can speak in other tongues. Amen. I don't have to be in church to pray in the Spirit. Amen. I can be in my bedroom praying in the Spirit. I can be on the way to church praying in the Spirit. I can be mowing grass praying in the Spirit. People say, well, you've made that whole baptism in the Holy Ghost all about you. I say, well, when I read in the book of Jude, it says, build yourself up in your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said in the first service, when everybody else walks away from me, there's one that'll stand with me. When you try to tear me down, there's one inside of me gonna build me up. Amen. I've come to find out. Hell may fight you. The church may abandon you. Everybody may walk away from you. But let me tell you, there's one that'll stand and stay to the very end. And you may feel beat down, wore down, and wore out. But I came to tell somebody today, you may be fatigued. But if we'll get the right water on the inside of us and build ourselves one more time, I'm telling you, there's a river on the inside of us that'll build us up. Hallelujah. How about this one? I'm just telling you what scientists say. Don't shoot me down. If you don't drink enough water, you'll become plump. That's what they said, plump. So I was just thinking about, well, what do you mean, God, plump? He said, well, some people are satisfied with being right where they are. I'm not underweight. I'm not overweight. I'm just plump. Come on now. I'm just plump. And I'm all right being plump because I'm not willing to sacrifice to lose any. Come on now. Amen. So you know what God showed me? He said, that's a person that's double-minded. They don't know which way they want to go. They have a double standard. They're double-minded. They can't make up their mind. I like eating food, but I'm not willing to count the cost, but I don't want to get fat. I don't want to get skinny. I think I'll just stay right here in the middle. So I got one foot in and I got one foot out. I'm content with being plump. I can tell you, no, you got to make your mind up and choose whom you're going to serve today. You're right. Not enough water will make us plump. It'll make us double-minded. It'll make us content with right where we are. I believe it's a picture of the lukewarm church. One foot in and one foot out. Some of us have to make our mind up. Listen to this. Your body loses water constantly through the day. How many of you know that? So if you don't put water back in, then you're surely going to what? Die. Or if you put bad water in you, then you are going to be very sick and you will not be able to produce the life that God has for you. I'm going to tell you something about a mission trip that I'm just telling you firsthand experience. 3 years ago, we went to Africa, and I was fixing to preach, and I'm sitting up front. They really honor you, African people, so we're up front. That woman, she brought me the water, and I popped open that lid, and I said, my God, something stinks. I smelled it. I said, surely water can't go bad. Anybody ever thought water could go bad? I didn't know it could. And so I smelled it again, and it smelled like something was dead in that water. But, you know, have you ever thought that you're stronger than the water? I said, have you ever thought that you were stronger than the water? Because if they said anything before me, I shall drink it, right? But, you know, at the same time, I don't know if I'm supposed to drink that. Whew, man. Can I tell you, bad water can be just as dangerous as no water. Can be just as dangerous as no water. Because at least if I got no water, then I can get some good water in me. But now if I get bad water, and if I drink that, there's going to be some bugs that come along with that. So now I'm not only getting rid of bad water, but I'm getting rid of what the bad water put in me now. Come on now. Can I tell you, sometimes it's good for somebody just to know where they once were. Yeah. Amen. Some people have to unlearn a lot. Are you hearing me? Because I drink a lot of bad water. Amen? But sometimes just having no water, I'm just thirsty. Give me something to drink. But some of us think, well, that water, I'm stronger than the water. I'm just going to drink the bad water. I smelt that water, and I said, my God. I said, surely that ain't bad water. So I took a swallow. Whew. I couldn't spit it out because I'm up front. And there's 300 people out there. And I'm fixing to preach. And so they're watching me. Because they're going, all them little ladies are ready to serve you. I'm smelling this bad water. Next thing I know, I drank it. I know I was like, I'll probably turn green like your shirt, brother. Next thing I know, she comes bringing me a good water. And I said, thank God. I said, I don't know what was wrong with that water, sister, but something was bad. It was rotten water. And I never knew water could rot, but I'm telling you it can. Another testimony, we went to Columbia about 3 years ago, maybe the same year. I don't know. But they had this Argentina tea, and they had boiled some water, and they put this thing down, this big metal straw down, and this leaf. I won't tell you what it looked like, but if you come from where I came from, I didn't know what it was, you know, but it just didn't look right. And so they said, try this Argentina tea. And so it was hot. And I stuck that straw down in there, and I drank that water through that grass or whatever it was, tea leaves. And, man, it kind of tasted a little good. But whenever I got back to the United States, I started feeling not so good. And it was about a month that I was just about thought I was going to die. What I didn't know was I'd picked up some parasites in that water that was bad. You see, about 8 years ago when we went on our first mission trip with Pastor Lee, he said, whatever y'all do, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water. And don't eat anything that the water has touched. Don't eat the lettuce. Don't eat the tomatoes. Don't eat anything that the water has touched. Make sure the water does not touch it, because if you do that, it is going to be disagreeable to your body.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Can I tell you, there's a lot of water flowing in the church that is disagreeable to the body. But a lot of times we think that we're greater than the water. Well, I think I can do that. I can drink that water. Well, the water's been boiled, but here's what my doctor said. It didn't stay at boiling temperature long enough. So what was in the water got in me. Because it wasn't boiled. It wasn't hot enough. And so it kept living. And so now that was living in that water, now is living on the inside of me. You see, you're not greater than the water. Come on now. You see, here's the enemy's agenda, is to get you to drink the water and to keep you in the bedroom or to keep you in the motel room where you can't get out and fulfill the call that God has upon your life. Wouldn't it be ashamed if I'd have drank that water in Africa and it got me so sick that I couldn't leave my motel room never again to preach what God sent me there to preach? You see, that's the purpose of the enemy. This water was bad, and it was producing barrenness in the whole land. Are you still with me? I said the bad water produced barrenness in the whole land. It wasn't just a little bit of people that were affected by it. It was everybody, and it was everything that came to drink the water. If they were going to have a garden in their yard, what water did they have to use?
This water.
If they had cattle in their house, in their yard, and or in their field or whatever, if they had donkeys, if they had horses, if they had cows, can I tell you what water did they have to drink?
The same water.
Because there was only one source. So what does that mean? He said the land is what?
Barren.
What does the word barren mean? I'm glad you asked this morning, because I'm excited to tell you. Amen. From the outside, remember, from the outside looking in, Jericho seemed good. It seemed like it was well situated, right? Boy, everything seemed good. But everything that came and drank that, the thing about it was it looked good to some people, but to some people they saw no new life. There was no new life. Nothing was producing life. Can I tell you what a sad day that it is when the church quits producing the next generation? What a sad day it is when the church quits producing the next generation. Listen to what he said. He said, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is naught and the ground barren. So we talked about the bad water. We talked about the agenda of the enemy would be to get me to drink the bad water and to stay in the room and not fulfill the work and the word of the Lord, right? To produce barrenness on the mission field. What a sad day that would be. But here's what the enemy does to us sitting right here. Amen. This word barren in the Hebrew means shekel. And it means to make childless. It means to miscarry.
It means to suffer abortion. It means to be unproductive. It means to rob you of your children. It means to cast dung. It means to deprive or destroy. And I love this. It means to cast a calf or fruit. Check this out. Fruit would form on the trees, but it would fall before it was. Can I tell you, the fruit would form on the tree, but it would fall to the ground before it got ripe to eat. How many of us are forming fruit, but it's fallen before Jesus can do anything with it? A lot of us. I ask you this morning, what fruit is following your life? What can you point back to? Who can you point back to in your life and say, this is the fruit of my ministry? This is the fruit of my labor. What about your children? What about outside of your children? When's the last time you've shared Jesus with somebody? When's the last time you've led somebody to the Lord? Is there any fruit that is following your life? Amen? Ask yourself that. Look back in your life and say, what fruit is here? You see, a lot of us are good at starting things, but very few of us don't finish. I mean, a lot of us don't finish. Amen? We start something, but we don't finish a lot of things. The fruit forms, but then it falls to the ground, and nobody is able to partake of that. Amen? And can I tell you that that is the agenda of the enemy? To produce a barren land. It also means premature death, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And I heard God say this morning. I don't know if God dealt with anybody in this first service, but I know that God told me to say this today. Premature death physically, a suicidal spirit must be broken in this church. A suicidal spirit must be broken in this church. Because the enemy's agenda is to get you to take your own life and cause premature death. Somebody in the first service, and I believe in this service, the enemy has been tormenting their mind to be premature death, to be barren, to, you know what, form fruit, but then fall before anybody can partake of that. The agenda of the enemy is to bring premature death spiritually in your calling. Some of you know that you're not doing what God has called you to do. You've started 1,000 times, but you've not kept pressing and you've not finished it. Because there's premature death in your life. You see it over and over and over and over. And the moment that you step forward, you feel pressure of the enemy and it pushes you back. And the enemy said, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. Because you know what? People see you start, but nobody sees you finish. Yeah. Wow. Come on now. Yeah. How many times do we do that? And the enemy, you know what he does? He points back to all your fruit that's laying on the ground that was never amounting to anything. So all we can see is what's wasted. But can I tell you, God don't waste anything. My God don't waste anything, and neither does your God. I said he don't waste one thing. The enemy's agenda is to cause not only your physical self, but your spiritual life, your calling, your ministry, and even this church. Everything to quit producing life. It means to deprive or to destroy. Listen to this very closely. In Jericho, the only life that was there was what has existed for a long time. Existing life was there, but no new life was being born anywhere. Well, I went to that church 10 years ago, and I came back 10 years later. Guess who was there? The same people. I seen Jared Jenkins 10 years ago, and I met him 10 years later, and guess what I saw? The same Jared that I saw 10 years before. Come on now. How much fruit have I wasted in that 10 years? If there's no new life, what's going on? If there's no new life in you, what's going on? There's a source of bad water because water's the source of life. And if the water's bad and if the source of life is bad, then guess what else is going to be bad? Everything else is going to be bad and produce barrenness. Can I tell you that the cows would take, and they would even carry a calf, just say 5 months to 8 months. But whenever it came time to press through and that calf be born, guess what would happen? It would die. It was never birthed. Fruit would form on trees,
But they would fall to the ground premature. And they would not ever be edible. They would just be wasted on the ground. Moms would receive the seed. And they would carry a baby. But then it would be miscarried before 9 months. Because why? The source of life was bad. The source of life was evil. The source of life was disagreeable. Everything about it. And so let's look at the church now. Let's look at GFCC. If the source of us is bad and disagreeable, then guess what? We're not going to be able to carry new life either. There's new babies being born all in this church. Thank God that there is source of new life. Amen? That tells me that something's right. But I also know that something's not right. Because I'm telling you, God talks. God speaks. And the enemy's agenda is to bring premature death. Existing life was there, but no new life was being born anywhere. Children, cattle, and the crops had to partake of the same water. And can I tell you, it affected the whole land. Are you still with me this morning? So what is the answer to all of this? The third point that I want to give you, he said in verse 20, and he said, bring me a new cruse. Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. Can I tell you this morning, that this cruse, if you look it up in the Hebrew, also means a jar or a bowl. And so I want to talk to you just a minute about this bowl. He said, bring me a new bowl. The word new in the Hebrew means shadash, new or fresh. And the root word to this is rebuild and repair. Can I tell you, there are some relationships in this church that need repairing. Can I tell you, there are some ministries and some people's ministries that need rebuilding. Come on now. Yeah. How is that going to take place? Only whenever God does a new thing. Yeah. Don't shoot me down now, because I probably just lost some of you. Anytime somebody, especially in the Pentecostal realm, when we talk about anything new, boy, what about the old path? What about the old days? What about them old preachers? What about it? Let's talk about it. I thank God for all of that. I told them earlier this morning, I thank God for the men that live that way. I thank God for the relationships with Pastor Lee and McDonald and Mike Chisholm. I don't know of any greater men that are looking back to the old ways, that are preaching the old way. I love that, amen? But I know that Jared Jenkins is who Jared Jenkins is. I wish I could preach like them men. But guess what? I can't do it. But I'm preaching the way God asked me to preach, amen? And I'm telling you this one thing. Here's what Jesus asked me to do today. He said, Jared, he said, I see what's going on in that house. He said, but I need you to be a new cruise for me today. He said, I'm going to fill you up with salt, and you're going to go there and you're going to pour it out. And so, church, I came this morning just to pour out the salt that I believe that Jesus told me to come pour out. Now, listen to me very quickly before you shoot down, that Jesus is going to do a new thing. I have friends in my life that preached about Jesus doing a new thing. And when they left this church, somebody from another church full of religion called them and said so-and-so said, I need to tell you that Jesus don't do new things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character is that. But let me tell you, Jesus will do a new thing and a fresh thing in mine and your life. You see, if you read back just a little bit, you'll see where there were 50 sons of the prophets and they were in school. Can I tell you, Elijah the old had just went up in a whirlwind to heaven, and the anointing fell upon Elisha, and the Bible says they even saw the same spirit of Elijah was now upon Elisha. The Bible says they even saw that, but they looked at Elisha, the new man, and said, we're going to go look for the old man. Somebody help me preach right now. He said, we're going to go look for the old man. And when they went looking for the old prophet, guess where he was? He was already going up to heaven. And I bet they came back with their tongues a dragging. And Elisha said, boys, I told you not go looking for that old. Can I tell somebody today, God sent me to this house to prophesy. Quit looking for the old path. Quit looking for the old prophet. You may get caught up. You may get in trouble. Because the last time I read, that old prophet will give you things that God told you not to eat and drink. Yeah, yeah. Woo. Come to my house. I'm a man of God too. Oh yeah. The old prophet, God done told you don't eat and drink. But that old prophet, be careful. Amen. Hey, I'm not lying to you. What they said, verse 16, back up, and they said, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit, capital S, of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. Can I tell you, some people will climb any mountain and go down in any valley just to look for the old. Are you with me? We'll look everywhere. We'll climb every mountain there is. We'll go down in every valley that there is looking for something old to try to prove somebody wrong. The Bible says they saw Elisha and they saw the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Can I tell you, quit looking for some new move of God everywhere else. Just realize what God's doing right in front of you. What is he doing right now? What is he doing right in front of you? Is that what he said? And he said, you shall not go. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, go. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. You're not going to find him. He's gone. Can I tell you what your grandpas did? They're gone. What grandma did? Gone. What is God doing right now? Let him use you the way that he did grandma, grandpa. Let him use us. God fan into flame the fire that is within me. But realize what God's doing right now. When they came again to him, he tarried at Jericho, and he said unto them, did I not say unto you not to go? Quit looking. God, he's doing it right now. I told you, don't waste your time. We could have got on with this thing. Hey, man, if you'd have just moved with me. Can I tell you, you got to move with the cloud. Amen. Let's move with the cloud. God is doing a new thing. Samson, the Bible says, picked up a new jawbone. The Bible says in the New Testament, there's a new wineskin. David Owen spoke this to me. He said, whenever we change with the times, it's compromise. When we change for the times, it's a new wineskin. Can I tell you, the wineskin change and the dimensions of a new wineskin change not from the outside in, but the inside out. What God's doing on the inside puts pressure on the wineskin and it pushes it out. Because that new wine goes through a process and it heats up. And whenever that new wine goes through that process of heating up, it expands. And if you try to put new wine in an old wineskin, whenever expansion comes and growth comes, can I tell you, they're going to bust. And the Bible says both will be wasted. So you might as well just put old wine and just keep it in an old wineskin. Don't try to fix and form and fashion Jesus to fit you. What God's doing on the inside, let him push and let him do it and form the wineskin. Just let him do it. Let him do it. Let's stay with the cloud. Let's let him do it. Well, he's pushing me out here. Let him push. Your wineskin's changing. Well, he's pushing here. Let him push. The wineskin's changing. And that wineskin, that new wineskin's probably not going to look like the old wineskin that you had. Because there's a new work being done in me. It's a new cruise. It's a new wineskin. And now there's pressure coming on the inside. That pain is, I'm telling you, it's worth it. I know God's doing a new thing right now in my life and in this church. And he sent me to this house today and he said, get a new cruise. Get a new bowl. He said, I'm forming a new wineskin. You're going to pick up a new jawbone. That means fresh. Amen. That word new means fresh or new. Amen. I'm telling you, God is getting ready to do a new thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Why not an old cruise? Because it had leftovers in it. It had leftovers in it. And even if it was just one crumb of old salt. He said, I don't want that old. I just wrote this down. Can I just say it? God don't want your leftovers. God don't want your leftovers. God don't want any mixture. If he's going to break the curse, if we're going to be the cure, there'll be no mixture. There'll be no mixture. None. I'm not about to take what you've been and try to do something new in it with mixture in you and think that I'm going to bring healing to these waters. I'm going to use a new cruise. We're going to do a new work, and all things are going to be passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, when Jesus does a work, he don't deal in leftovers. He makes all things new. I said all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You see, Jesus don't see what you see in me. He sees his son, and he sees his beloved. We see failures, mistakes, flesh. But when Jesus sees us, he sees perfection. He sees perfection. He sees us as his children. And he loves us. And we cry out, Abba, Father, because that's who he is. Jesus is not interested in your leftovers. There'll be no mixture. I said this word, and it's just as real to me as it was when I said it. I preached out of the book of Ezra when they were building the temple. The Bible says that some men came, said that there was a noise, that some were loud about the new temple and the new foundation, and then there was a noise over here. Some were crying because they didn't want to let go of the old. And so whenever these were excited, they were jumping up and down for the new foundation that was being laid. And these were over here, and they were like, no, 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 we don't want a new foundation laid. And they were in an uproar. And so the Bible says somebody came. And here's immediately, can I tell you, whenever there's confusion, the enemy's immediately drawn in. Can I tell you who's drawn in? People with a mixture. And the Bible says that they were attracted and they came. And here's what they said, we're going to help you build. Now's a good time to help somebody build now that there's division in the house. You got to be very careful when hell's fighting who you let in. Because it seems very tempting. Well, I think people's leaving me. How are we going to build this new church? And oh, yeah, somebody with a mixture walks right in. Well, I own a big business, and I'll help you build that church. Man, that must be God. No, it could be a mixture. Could be a mixture. So I said, who are these people that said we're going to help you build? 1 Kings chapter 17 speaks of a people called the Samaritans. They were mixed breeds. They were half breeds. And they said out of one side of their mouth, we're going to worship the Lord God with a capital G. And then on the other side of their mouth, they said, we're going to worship our gods with the lowercase g. They were people of a mixture. But yet here they are, and the first thing that they say is, we worship your God, and we're going to help you build. But can I tell you, the priest of that foundation said, no, 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 no. You're not going to help us build. We don't need your help. Thank God for people of God that have wisdom from above, Sister Tammy, that have wisdom from above, that realize and recognize when the enemy comes and when people come with a mixture in their life. Let me tell you something, church. If God is going to do a new thing, it's going to come in a new cruise. Amen. And let me tell you something. Don't be surprised or shocked when God starts doing something that you can't hold tangibly. When you can't conform it, when the wineskin don't form to your image because you tried to make it fit you on the outside, you better realize you got to get your hands off and realize that wineskin's being formed from the inside out, not the outside in, and we better get our hands off of it. You see, when Uzzah touched the presence of God, when they were carrying it the wrong way, spiritual principles here, Saul didn't know anything about the presence of God, so he never taught David. And so now here's David, and he's got this man Uzzah with him. And David never taught Uzzah how to handle the presence of God. Come on, somebody. If we don't start teaching people how to handle the presence of God, then people's going to start putting their hands on it. Come on now. And then here's what happens. We just start touching the presence of God just very carelessly. I looked up what Uzzah's name meant one day, and his name means strength or strong. Oh, yeah, some of us are going to manhandle the presence of God. You start touching God's presence in your own strength, and guess what? You're going to be just like Uzzah, and you're going to die. You can't manhandle the presence of God. You can't form your own wineskin. It has nothing to do with you. You can, but it'll break, and you'll waste what God puts in you, and you'll waste what God did too by giving you a wineskin to begin with. We have to teach people how to deal in the presence of God.
Sunday nights at our prayer meeting, we're fixing to start talking about these things. And so it's going to be a new cruise. It's going to be a new wineskin. And it will be without mixture. No mixture. It was the Samaritan people with a mixture in them that tried to mix up the building in Ezra. It will be the same today. People with brackish waters with a mixture. The Bible says not only bring a new cruise, but what did he say to put salt? He said put salt therein. How many of you like salt? You add salt to everything? I'll spare y'all what I did this 2 weeks ago, but I busted my lips so bad in Texas. And it was just laid open. I told them earlier, I looked like Bubba Gump on Forrest Gump. I mean, my lip was just out there, and it hurt so bad. And I knew that there was only one answer to start the healing process of my lip. Anybody know what that was? Salt. God. Whew. So I just found me a pack of salt. I just pulled my lip out. I just put it down in there like I was getting a dip. And all I can tell y'all was just it started hurting. And I tried to be strong. You know what I'm saying? I tried to just manhandle it. But I'm telling you, tears just started rolling down my eyes because it was hurting so bad. And I'm like, oh. I'm just standing there looking at myself in the mirror trying not to see myself cry. But it hurts so bad. But in that moment, I said, if my lip is going to get better, then I have to go through a little pain. Every bit of pain that we walk through has a purpose. Because salt is a healing agent. Salt purifies. Salt preserves. And I love this, salt pulls us to drink water. You've heard the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, can I tell you, in the wintertime, if you don't have a salt block out for horses and cows, guess what they won't do? They won't drink. So you put salt blocks here, and you pour salt out. So that in the wintertime, when they eat the grass, then they'll go lick up the salt. And when they lick up the salt, the next thing they'll do is go drink water. And so salt pushes you and pulls you to drink water. And so can I tell you that salt is a healing agent? And so in that new cruise, he said, pour salt therein. I never knew this, but Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13 says that the meat offering. I'm about to close. Brother Rafe, are you playing? Thank you. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Can I tell you that if we're going to offer ourselves to God, can I tell you we should be salty people? We should be salty. Because salt makes me thirsty. When's the last time your life made anybody thirsty for Jesus? When people get around you, do you make them hunger and thirst for more of God? Does your life cause people to want to dig deeper in the Scripture? Does our lives cause people to want to be faithful to church, or they hear me mumble and complain? Salty people make other people thirst for the living water of Christ. Salt is a healing agent. When is the last time that you've been salt, laid hands on the sick, and they recovered? Mark 9:49. Hallelujah. Mark 9:49 says, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Matthew 5:13 says that we are to be the salt of the earth. How many of you is ready to be the salt of the earth? The last point that I want to give you this morning, I talked to you about bad water. I talked to you about a barren land. We've talked about a new bowl. And I want to leave you with this. The greatest blessing of all is they didn't get a new well. They didn't get a new people. They just got healing. They just got healing in the source that fed it all. The water was healed. Can I tell you, you don't have to move churches to get healing. Can I tell you, you don't have to get a new water in your back, a new well in your backyard. You just need to heal what's already there. Can I tell you, you don't have to look any farther. You just have to go get a new cruise and put salt in the source that has made everything bad and barren. Because the Bible goes on to say that from that day forth, he went forth unto the spring of waters. He cast the salt in there. And he said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death. Can I tell you, he rebuked death. That salt brought healing to the waters or barren land. That means premature death stopped. That means abortion stopped. That means miscarriages stopped. Can I tell you what was only existing life at one time? Now everybody around there, there's new life everywhere. There's cows giving birth. There's women giving birth. Can I tell you fruit's growing on trees and it's not falling before it's time for it to follow? I'm telling you, fruit was following through now. That land was different. That place was changed. Jericho, that source of life. Verse 22, so the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. You know, I looked up in a commentary last night. Can I tell you that said that still today, the same well is one of the greatest resources and sources of water. That since this passage of Scripture that I just read to you, can I tell you the waters never went bad again? People come from all over to this water to drink. It's one of the most pure places to get water now in Jericho. It never went back bad, brother. That land is flourishing, fruit growing, cattle giving birth, people going on with new life because one man obeyed God. What if you obey God? What if one person in this church, are you going to be the cure? Are you going to be the curse? We have to make up our mind which one we're going to be, the cure or the curse. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the curse. I want to be the cure. I want to be a new vessel. I want to be a new bowl. I want to be filled with healing. I want to be filled with flavor. I want to be filled with saltiness. I want when others get around me, they hunger and thirst for the things of God. So I ask you this morning, what do you want to be? The cure or the curse? You can come in these altars and pray as Brother Rafe leads us if you feel led to.